considering that you have a background in comic book writing and graphic novel writing, do you think that helped as a director?
It did to a certain point. You know, when you are working on a comic, you, or at least I don't know how other people do it, but I tend to form a very close collaborative relationship with the artist who's drawing the work. So in a sense, that gave me a little bit of a vocabulary for working, you know, with the various departments on my movie. Like, I sort of found that the directing was really all about learning how to communicate properly with various types of artists, you know, the DP and the art designer and art director and all those kinds of things. So, I mean, in a sense, you know, it gave me a little bit of a background in some of the skills that I found that I needed for directing. Of course, making a comic is a much smaller and much more intimate process than movie making, so, you know, it prepared me a little bit, but not to the degree that one would hope to be prepared, shall we say.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about The Bleeding House. Let's just say someone is walking around the Tribeca Film Festival looking for a film to see, and they say, oh, The Bleeding House, what's that about? What would you tell them?
I would tell them that it is a dark thriller about a family grappling with some rough secrets in their history, and the stranger who comes to the house one night, and then the mayhem that ensues. And I would say if they like thrillers and horror films, then it's definitely something they should check out.
Okay, who are some of your mentors or some people that you get inspiration for when creating a film? Because it feels like this film has a very different type of style. So where did you kind of get your style from?
That's a good question. I went to college for cinema studies, so we weren't the production people. We were the people that sat in dark rooms and watched as many movies as we could possibly see. So, you know, it's funny, the style of this movie in particular did about a 180 flip from my original conception for it and what ended up on screen. I mean, my original conception for it was to make it actually much looser in style and give it a kind of manic feeling. Like, my original thought was, well, let's, you know, we don't have a lot of money, so let's shoot it a little bit more like Texas Chainsaw or something, where the camera is a little bit more free and it's just a little bit looser in general. But then then at a certain point that completely changed, because the movie is not like Texas Chainsaw at all. The movie, you know, my movie is a much more, what's the word I'm looking for? I mean, slow, but slow is, you know, not a good word for a director to call his own movie, but, you know, let's call it more stately. So the style of the movie actually came partially from a Japanese movie that I love called The Cure, or maybe just Cure by Kiyoshi Kurosawa, that came out in the mid-90s, I think, and it's a wonderful horror movie and one of my favorite horror movies. I mean, it has a kind of odd pace and feel to it, and I mean, I don't think that The Bleeding House did the exact same thing, but it was that movie and this idea that you could make a thriller and a dark thriller without, basically without doing it like Texas Chainsaw or Halloween or some of the more standard horror films that really gave this movie its style. And I mean, I have to say, I'm going to be intrigued as to how it's received by horror and thriller audiences, just because stylistically it cuts, I think, pretty heavily against the grain that you normally see in movies like this. So, you know, I guess, but in general, I think that my, specifically the style for this was really heavily influenced by that Japanese movie, but in general, I think, you know, my favorite filmmakers are people like Roman Polanski and, you know, names that you hear a lot, like Kubrick and stuff like that. I've recently become re-obsessed, actually, with an Italian filmmaker named Pier Paolo Pasolini, who was really a fantastic filmmaker and really interesting guy in general. So, I don't know, I tend to like the obscure, so the style kind of comes from my love of the obscure and esoterica in general.
Okay, considering that, if you had to be extra critical, like super critical of your own work, what do you think someone that loves horror would love about your film, and what do you think that they wouldn't love?
I think they wouldn't love the pacing. I think that it's a much slower grind than a horror audience, especially a horror audience weaned on Saw and movies and like Hostel. And I like Saw and I like Hostel, but this is a much, much different movie than that. I think the right kind of horror fan is really going to I think should really appreciate the ambience of my movie. I think my movie is darkly sinister, and if you can get in the right mindset, I think it is a very unsettling movie that is basically sinister through and through without ever really exploding into any kind of bouts of sex or gore, because we don't really. We kind of keep it at a nice, unsettling simmer throughout.
Okay. The Smiths are not your normal family, to say the very least.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite character in that family, and why?
Gloria is my favorite character in that family, because I had to record a DVD commentary for the movie, and I said this exact same thing on the DVD commentary, and I don't know what it means about myself. I like creepy girls, and she's creepy, and she was a lot of fun. She doesn't talk a lot, and she talks a little bit more in the script, but not really very much in the movie. But it was a lot of fun to write a character who doesn't speak a lot and just kind of exists and has this kind of gloom cloud over her, which I really like. And I guess I can relate to, I'm actually a pretty happy, well-adjusted guy, but I guess somewhere in me lurks a really creepy girl. I don't know. I just don't know. but yeah, she's definitely my favorite, and she's my favorite in the movie. No offense to the other actors, but I think Alex did a really wonderful job, and she really, it's funny, of all the, when you write a script or when you write a comic, you inevitably, at a certain point in your mind, it's perfect, and at a certain point you have to basically come to grips with what it's actually going to be. It wasn't that hard in this movie. A lot of people were really close to what they were in my mind, but Gloria and Alex in particular, I mean, she is more or less exactly what I had in mind when I was writing her. So
that was the next question I was actually going to ask you. From her just being called Blackbird to the the collection of dead insects tacked to the wall. That was something that you wrote. You didn't add upon anything while you were filming to kind of bring that out more.
Nope, that's all in the script. It's funny. I don't even remember where some of this stuff comes from. I remember at a certain point, I think in the very, very, very first draft, so, probably 2+ years ago, she didn't have the nickname Blackbird. And at a certain point, I was like, oh, well, she should have a nickname, a creepy nickname, and she should only answer to it. And then the collection of bugs is just something that I just thought would be cool. My regret about that collection of bugs is that we couldn't afford to get bigger bugs. I wish they were all butterflies and sort of bigger bugs. I mean, I like that they're small, but it would have been nice to have a few more centerpiece bugs. But all that stuff, was in the script. Definitely those two elements were featured pretty heavily in the script from almost probably the second draft onward. So.
Okay, considering how, I don't know if creepy is the right word, but how eccentric the Smiths are, you really needed a special actor to play Nick. Well, what do you think of Patrick Breen's performance?
I think his performance is marvelous. It's like a lot of things in this movie, he played against genre type, which was a little, honestly, a little surprising for me too, because Nick on the page, I think, hewed a little bit more explicitly sinister. And when we started working on the movie, there was this moment, when Patrick said to me, and I think he was right to say it, that he needed to not be sinister, so explicitly sinister, because otherwise people weren't going to go with the movie when they let him into the house. And I still think some people might have that issue, but whatever. So Patrick said to me, I want to play him, basically courteous and somewhat kind throughout, and it was a really interesting choice, and I think it really brought Nick a kind of life that he actually didn't have on the page. It was a hard, Patrick's a stage actor, so he's used to memorizing a lot of lines, but there are definitely some chunks. I mean, Nick's a very talkative character, and there are definitely a lot of chunks of dialogue in the movie that he had to digest and he had to find a kind of logic for. And I remember specifically, we would sit and talk about the lines, and there were a few times when he asked me, what does this line mean exactly? And I hate to say it, but I don't know if I actually had an answer for him. I was like, I just thought it sounded really cool, so if you could, bring life to it. He's like, okay, I'll sort it out. That being said, however, there are certain things about Nick's character that in writing make a very I was very conscious of trying to make him make sense. Like, he's obviously a very religious character, but he never, at least in the script, I don't think in the movie, he never, like, the word God is never uttered, and nor is Jesus, and nor is any sort of the other. I wanted him to make, like, I feel like there's a kind of cliched religious killer out there that you see in movies like this, and I wanted him to be of that, class of killer, but give him peculiarities that would make him stand out. And Patrick did that really, really well, so.
Okay, last question. If you can have a viewer of the film get one thing out of it, what do you think that would be, and why?
Get one thing out of it? I hope that they would find themselves more, I hate to sound snobbish, but more intellectually stimulated than they would by a majority of genre films. I mean, one of the things that I really wanted to put into the movie was basically, and not to give too much away about the movie, but a question about, which of these two characters is worse, and then not really provide the viewer with an answer. I'm a big fan of movies that don't provide answers. So I would really hope that they would be left with a little bit of a thoughtful question for themselves about, the two central characters that the movie ends up being about. I really hope they would take away that question. And why I hope they would take away that question, I guess, is just because I feel like I'm a fan of movies and fiction in general that don't provide easy answers, and that sort of you have to grapple with certain kinds of questions. And I've always found that to be, what makes movies most entertaining. So hopefully there are people out there who enjoy movies that end on a question, and they'll take that question with them home.